Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We have been talking about the principles that are in Hebrews chapter 6, and we've been looking at that. But now we've been really looking at this idea of redemption, and so we're going to continue with that. There's three more words of redemption I want to expound on, and I tell you, when you understand those more, You just really, it causes you to want to live differently. And that's what, if we have a healthy conviction, it's good for us, it's good for our children, it's good for everybody that's involved in your life. It's all good. So why don't we stand up and let's read the vision, and we're going to get started. Yeah, I got some good stuff today. It's just... oh, my goodness. Good stuff. All right. See this? I tell you, it's so important to have a vision. And when you have vision, you see things the way God sees things. And that's why vision is so important. And when we lose heart, we lose vision. And all throughout the New Testament says, don't lose heart. And he's really talking about your vision. Because when you lose heart, that means your heart is off-centered. It's not centered on God. And so when your heart is on God, you have vision, you see clearer. And I'll tell you, you can see a clear path. And I don't care what's going on in the world, when you have clear vision, you can get there. You can get to your destiny, and you can fulfill your dreams. God has a plan and purpose. I'm here to tell you, for everyone and everybody watching on live stream, He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And you've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prearranged beforehand that you should walk in them. He wants you to walk in His good works. And that's what God is calling us all to. Amen? Walk in His good works. All right. Let's read this vision. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In the bond of peace. You simply cannot have peace without the Holy Spirit. If you're not born again, you won't ever experience peace. Peace is something that you won't partake of or participate in. You'll always be in disunity, confusion, and looking for something. But when you have the Holy Spirit and you get His Word and you have unity and you start to walk in that, it's like life is better. Everything God has is better. Better for you. It's better. Everybody say it's better. It's better. All right. So let's go to our foundational scripture in Hebrews 6, 1. And we're going to read it while you're standing, and then we'll be seated, all right? Okay, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So he says, not laying again the foundation of repentance. So that ought to already be in us. You see that? To naturally repent. And when you repent, remember, what's it mean? Metanoia. Change your mind. Change your mind towards God. And that's what God's calling us. He wants you to change your thoughts and your mind towards God, because He has a purpose and a plan. When your mind is on God, you have peace. In his perfect peace, he will keep them whose mind is stayed on thee and whose trust is in the Lord. Isaiah 26:3. You can only have peace when you have a relationship with God. So now look, this is so important because look what he says. Again, the foundation of repentance from dead works. I don't want to do dead works, do you? I want my works to be alive. James says faith without works is dead. So I want my works, what I do, what I'm out to do and accomplish, I want it to be alive. When it's alive, it's eternal. It has everlasting value. And it adds value to other people. Don't you want to be a person that adds value to people? And you know what? You want to be a person that adds value to yourself. When God is your God and you center your life around him, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, you got to learn to love yourself. The most important conversation you had this morning was the one you said to yourself. That's the most important conversation you'd have daily is what you say to yourself. You got to learn to say the good things about you and talk good about you to yourself. You see that? When you love yourself, you're going to be able to love other people. You see that? If you don't love yourself, it's going to be hard for you to reciprocate love to anyone else. I told the people on Wednesday night, the young people, I said, you young people, I said, don't fall in love with somebody who has low value and low self-esteem because they have a hard time loving you. They won't be able to love you back. Now listen, but that can change. But you don't want to wait for that to change. And if you're in that now, it can change. So don't run from that if you have that now. You see that? Because that can change. I'm trying to help you out. When you understand your value, you see, that's your esteem. Your esteem comes up. Your value comes up when you know who you are in Christ. You see that? And you're not going to let just anyone touch you. You're not going to let people touch your body and touch you or mistreat you in ways. You see that? People that really love you will honor you and treat you like you're valuable. Open the door for your wife and your girlfriend and respect and honor them. You see that? And pay for the dinner when you go out to eat. A man should be paying for that once in a while. All the time, I think. That's his job. Well, if you're broke, busted, and disgusted, you need to learn to love yourself. Amen? Amen. I'm just here, and we gotta sit down, don't we? Let's be seated. That's true. You see, when you know who you are in Christ, you're gonna have something in your pocket. And you'll be able to take your wife out to dinner or help her out a little bit. Amen? Or your girlfriend. So, okay. Back to what we were talking about, this repentance. Repentance is the Greek word metanoia. Meta means change. Noia means mind. Mind. So we have to be willing to change our minds. So if it's towards God, it's metanoia. But if it's not towards God, catch this, it's paranoia. Para means you're pairing up with thoughts that aren't from God, that produce fear. You see, that's what paranoia is, fear. And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. Amen. And that's what God wants. He wants you to have a sound mind. And that comes from the love of God. And when the love of God is in place, you have a sound mind. And you're secure in your mind, your thinking. Amen? Well, we need more of that, don't we? All right. We've been talking about redemption. And last week we talked about the word agorizo and what it means. And remember, the first word agorizo literally means to locate you. And it was talking about the slave market. So before you became a believer, if you're here, before Christ, you were in the slave market. You are a slave, and you are in the Satan's slave market. And he had you bound and in bondage. But when you got when you come to Christ and you became a Christian, now you've become, you've been purchased by God, and now you're redeemed out of that slave market. Remember, I gave you that example last week of the woman that was auctioned off in the 60s. I'm not going to go over that again, but look at last week's message online if you want to. But the idea is we got to understand that God located us in the slave market. So that word redeemed there is the word agorizo, A-G-O-R-I-D-Z-O. And it means to locate. So he located us and out of the slave market. Now look, watch. Go with me to Galatians 3:13. This is our new word for redemption. So the first word for redemption was agorizo. Now it's ex agorizo for redemption, okay? Got an ex in front of agorizo. And that means, this is what it means. He removed us from under the curse. So in other words, we've been removed from under the curse. Okay, so this el ex agorizo conveys the idea of removal. It signifies the purchase of a slave in order to permanently set the slave free from the heinous place, it was in, never to be put on the trading block of slavery again. We talked about that because that's really what they did before Jesus came to earth. They would auction slaves off and buy them just like, you know, animals. Paul is telling us in Galatians 3:13, let's look at this. Christ has redeemed, exorgzo, redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, on the cross. That's what he's talking about. So Paul is telling us plainly that Jesus' sacrificial death not only paid the penalty for our sin, but his death also removed us from living under the curse of the law. Boy, that's good news. That's good news right there. Paul continues to tell us that it was for the work of redemption that Jesus came into the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of as sons. You see, we've been adopted because we've been born again. We've been adopted. When you're adopted, the person who adopts you wants you. And that's what God does. He wants you. Your parents may not have wanted you, but God wants you. And so you can't live under this idea of a victim. My parents didn't want me. God has always wanted you, and you don't have to live a victim. You see, when you live that low self-esteem and a victim, you can't have authority, and you can't have dominion in your life. He created us for dominion and to have authority. But when you live in that low level of life, you can't have authority. You're already defeated, and you can't use your authority to reign in life. God wants you to reign in life. Amen? Did you catch what I said? Now, yes, this is huge. He removed us from the curse of the law. We must ask, what price did Jesus pay for our freedom? He paid the highest price, right? This is our new word. L-U-T-R-O-O. That's our new word for redemption. L-U-T-R-O-O. Latruo. This is what it means. It means to set a captive free by payment of a ransom. So we've been ransomed. It's like we were kidnapped by the devil. And you know, God says, what's the price? Has to be blood. Had to be blood, right? So that's the price Jesus paid, was with our blood, with his blood. Now get this. In order for a buyer to secure a slave of his choice, a very high price had to be paid. Unreasonably high. High ransoms. Jesus paid the highest. He gave his life. Amen? In using this word latrio to denote the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross and on our behalf, Paul reminds us that our freedom was not free. It's quite the contrary, it's very costly. And when you understand that, you really want to live in a different way. You want to live in a way that pleases God and honors God, because you know he paid the highest price for you. And when that's love, you see that? That's real love. And you know what? It says, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's his love. In this, God loved us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so that's what it is. That's how much he loved us. Now watch. So our freedom from Satan's power was extremely expensive. Now, give me 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 6 real quick. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You see that? Jesus said, I am the truth. The word truth means nothing concealed, reality revealed. God wants you to know the truth. In 2 Timothy, it says, in the latter days that we're living in, men will always be learning. They're always learning, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth. We're people of God, so we want to come to the knowledge of the truth. It says they have a form of godliness, but they deny his power. Always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We're not going to be in that part, that group. We're going to keep learning and growing, and we're going to come to the knowledge of the truth, and we're going to have power in our life. We're not going to deny it because we do have power. Are you with me? We have God's power in our life. Give me verse 6, if you would. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. See that? He gave himself a ransom. Latruo, that's that word. That's redemption. Now listen. Give me Ephesians 1, 7 real quick. In him we have redemption, latruo, whatever. I know it's probably not perfect, but you just have to live with it. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. God's grace is powerful. Now, give me Colossians 1, 14 real quick, if you would, Nathaniel. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see that? In whom? That's the word latrio. For Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and earth, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And in him all things consist. That word consist means holds together. In him all things hold together. When you are in him and you understand your redemption, you will hold together if this world is falling apart. You are going to hold together. Are you with me? You're not going to fall apart. You're not going to fall apart like a $2 suitcase. Amen? You are going to hold together because you know who you are and you know where you're going. And you're secure. When you're secure, you hold your head up. You know where you're going. And when you know that, you know why you're here. When you're in his will, that's it. That's the safest place you can be and the most secure place you can be. Now, give me Hebrews 9:12 real quick. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. This thing's forever. It's forever. Eternal redemption. Now, in Titus 2:14, can you give me that one? He ransomed us, set you and I free. He bought us with his own blood. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, latruo, from slavery No, from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You see, when you understand your redemption, you're going to be zealous to do his works, his will. Zealous. Zealous means boiling over. I couldn't wait to get here this morning. I want to do his works. I went to a leadership conference. I couldn't wait to get there. I love serving the Lord. When you're serving the Lord, there's fulfillment in it. But you got to get with the right people, and you got to get connected, and you got to feed your spirit the word of God. And you got to understand your redemption. And that's what we're trying to help us understand. Now, because he says zealous for good works, and then he goes on to say, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who loved us and gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Everybody say, I'm zealous for good works. All right, that's the Lord, La True. Here's the last one, number four. APOLUTROSIS. I'm going to spell it again. APOLUTROSIS. See the latrus in there. It's in that words are powerful. And this Greek language is really powerful. But that's the New Testament. That's why we got to understand some of it. Now watch. So in other words, this word says you've been restored to full status. And it's speaking of being restored. Did you hear me? And so when God restores something, he restores it. And that's what he's saying. You've really, really, back to Adam and Eve before they sinned, that's where you're at in the eyes of God. Did you catch that? You've been restored. And if you start listening to him and what he's saying in his word and walk, you can have a little bit of paradise here and even in this life. Now watch. The word restore means to return to its original condition. When I was a kid, my dad had a brother who ran a body shop, Rogers Pontiac. And there was a red Firebird came in, and brand new. And it had been an accident and all smashed up. I mean, it was smashed up. And my dad said, you see that car right there? I said, Uncle Glenn's going to repair that car and you won't ever be able to tell it. I said, there's no way he can fix that car. And this car was smashed. I mean, he had a machine that pulled it out. And I said, no way. He says, yep. And he says, well, we'll come back next week and we'll see. So we came back, I think 7-8 days later. And that car, the guy hadn't picked up his car yet. And we looked at it. Looked like brand new. Looked like the showroom. Looked like it was on the show. You know what I mean? Nothing ever happened. That's what restored means. God restores you. You see that? Are you getting this? This is good stuff. You see, because your life was a wreck when it was in sin and under the hands of the enemy. Are you listening to me? It was a wreck. Now watch this. It also means to return back. So we've returned back to what he restored us to, the original condition. The word latrio means to set a slave free by payment of ransom. The word apostolos, that's close enough, most assuredly means Jesus paid the ransom in order to return us to the condition we were in before we were taken captive. Did you hear me? Before you were taken captive, before you were born, before you ever sinned, God has got you back to the original condition. By using and choosing these words of redemption, Paul declares that we were forever delivered from Satan's power. We were forever removed from that dreadful place in that slave market and now we have been fully restored by the blood of Jesus Christ, placed back into a state of right standing with God. Isn't that awesome? We're in right standing with God. We're in a relationship with God. That's good news, isn't it? Yep. Everybody say, I'm the righteousness of God. That's what you are if you're born again. That's right. And he says in 5:17, Romans 5:17, that you can reign in life. So you can reign in life when you understand. Now watch, give me Galatians 4:7 real quick. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So everything God has, you have when you understand this. Did you hear me? Did you get what I said? You are an heir of God through Christ. If they were going to rewrite the Bible, your name would be in the book of Matthew chapter 1. Are you listening to me? Isn't that amazing? You'd see your name in the first chapter of Matthew. That's good news, isn't it? Did you catch that? So why do we get so discouraged? Because we don't really understand what God has done. And this is what we got to keep coming together, keep speaking over each other, and understand our redemption. And it will protect you, and it will keep you in a healthy place in your mind and your heart. Now, he says in Isaiah 43:1, he says, fear not, fear not. I have redeemed you. You are mine. You are mine. Fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Fear not. I am your Savior forever. That's a redemption. That's what our redemption has done. We have nothing to be afraid of. We've been seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. We're seated with Christ. We've been raised up above. We're no longer, are you with me? Our citizenship is in heaven. Set your minds on the things of the above, not on the things of this earth. That's where our minds ought to be. Amen. For many walk who are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their same, who have set their minds on earthly things and not on the things above. We're going to keep our minds on the things above. Amen. Amen. Come on, are you with me? Say, I've been redeemed. I like redemption. That's one of the most important words you can learn and understand. And that's why I'm doing this extensive teaching on it. It talks about in Colossians 1:28, it says, Him, Christ Jesus, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present Him perfect, mature. So we're supposed to be helping people mature. And that's what we're doing here. We're helping people to mature in the things of God. Amen.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.